Well, anyway, happy Thanksgiving. The name of this message is The Complainers. The Complaining Society, The Complainers. People complain more and more, and we live in an ever-increasing, unthankful, complaining nation. I'm complaining about this, I'm complaining about that. It's never quite good enough. There's no sense of gratitude. You owe it to me. You really hear that attitude and variations of it. You owe it to me. You should have given it to me yesterday. And it's almost a low level of angry, ungrateful society. And there's a scary set of scriptures in the Bible. I want to read those scary sets. We're focusing on thankfulness and unthankfulness this afternoon, but I want to read 2 Timothy 3. And what I'm going to just say is, how close are we to this? We're obviously not there yet, but how close are we? And that's the question. How close are we? 2 Timothy 3 is all very familiar scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. And this is Paul talking about the end times. But know this. He said, know it. That in the last days, you know, obviously before Christ comes back and brings in a new age, when everything will be wonderful and God will control the world. Now, he isn't controlling the world. He's influencing it, but not controlling it. In the last days, perilous or dangerous times will come. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters. I guess in sports they call it trash talking. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Unthankful. I emphasize that word this afternoon. Unthankful, unholy. It's not a thankful generation. A scary world is coming where people will be the ultimate in selfishness. So the question is, are we there yet? Or assuming that we're not there yet, how far away are we? And that, of course, is something you'll have to decide. How far away are we? But one thing is clear. God wants us true Christians to go in the opposite direction. Society is going more unthankful, more selfish, more petty, more angry. We should be going the opposite direction. I'm going to read verse 3 through 5 just to complete Paul's warning. Verse 3, 2 Timothy 3. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers. You know, some of the young mobs, mostly are young people, I guess not all young, they're out there in the streets complaining about the election. Some of them, at least a few, if they see someone with a sticker that they say is the other side, they're very unforgiving. And I've heard of cars smashed up, people beat up. It's unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal. Despisers of those that are good. The worst thing you can be, for some of them, is to be a Christian. I heard this lady being interviewed in one of those talk shows, and she was proud to say this. I don't go to church. And then she had her complaints as a far left radical about some other stuff, but she was proud to say, I don't go to church. And I could almost sense an ooze coming out of her saying, I don't like people who do. Now, she didn't actually say that, but I sensed it. At least that's what I got out of it. Unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal, despisers of those that are good, traitors. Patriotism is certainly not up, it's down, right? Traitors. As a matter of fact, a lot of colleges say that patriotism is like jingoism. It's a bad thing. I'm not making this up. You take a lot of political... I even saw it when I was in school many years ago. But it was pretty big then. I thought, this is crazy. The professors are teaching stuff like to be patriotic is... You know, that's bad. But, you know, it's like... I can't put it... It's like that's jingoistic. You're just too nationalistic. We should be kind of a global... They didn't really say it exactly, but, you know, there are even a few colleges, at least one, that banned the American flag. So when I say traitors, it's starting to take shape. And these are the people influencing our future leaders. Headstrong, haughty, like the guy in the play who lectured the VP. I saw a certain haughty attitude. Like, he was so right. At least that's how it came across to me. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Really can't say much more about that, can we? That's pretty clear, isn't it? By the way, that's, I think, one of the reasons that drugs grab and destroy so many people. Drugs deliver one thing, brain pleasure. Oh, very short. Not that I know that much, because fortunately, I've been spared that. But from people you read, I've heard them, they take one hit of cocaine or meth, and they say the pleasure sensation is so great that their whole lives are destroyed. They can't be responsible for anything else but getting another hit the next day. Pleasure. Rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. They might actually feel spiritual in their own way, but it's a spirituality that's anti-obedience to God. Now, that's what Paul warns. He said that is coming in the future. And that is a scary world, because when people are brutal and selfish and unloving and unforgiving, there can be all kinds of bad things are going to happen. You just imagine that's the direction our world is going. So I asked the question, are we there yet? One thing is for sure, we go to 1 Thessalonians 5, God wants you and I to go in the opposite direction from the world. 1 Thessalonians 5, which is going in you owe it to me, unselfish direction. It's just a basic set of advice that Paul gave the Thessalonians. Thessalonians 5:18. Verse 18, he says, in everything give thanks. And in a way, that means even when you have a tough test or a trial, you can give God thanks even when something goes wrong, because you can gain something out of it. And everyone says, oh, yeah, tell me. But, you know, we all could speculate what you might get out of it. You might gain a little more patience. Each trial may be unique, but you can gain something out of even when something goes wrong. Little blessings, big blessings. Give thanks in everything. That's what Paul says. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, that we should be thankful in everything. And there are people that you see and you hear about, like someone that comes from maybe a poverty-stricken third world country, and they get over here and they get a little something and they're so thankful for it. Where people that are here for maybe even generations, oh, that ain't nothing. They're not thankful for anything. And I just think the person who appreciates what they've got is happier and better off than the one that, you know, oh, that's not enough for me. Be thankful in everything. Now, the next two verses are related. Verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. How do you quench the Spirit? You quench the Spirit when you, it's like, if you think of the Spirit like a fire, a spiritual fire, when you do things against what the Spirit wants you to do, like pouring water on it, you know, like, or stuffing it down. God's Spirit is trying to pull you to be more thankful, and you're trying to be more unthankful and more demanding and more petty and more selfish. So that's why Paul says that. We should do all those things to get the Spirit to flow in us better than it is now. Verse 20 is also related. Do not despise prophecies. Now, when the New Testament says prophecies, it doesn't just mean sermons about prophecy. The way they meant it in those days was any inspired sermon is considered prophecies. It's just the way they meant it. And you read the New Testament, you'll see that feeling. So if you hear someone give a sermon about Daniel and the lion's den and his faith, be positive about that sermon and get out of it what you can. It's like in class, you can see some students in the back row, and you're saying something that they ought to be listening to, and they're on their little smartphone, dip, 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 you know, whatever they're doing, and their computers. They got all kinds of devices and stuff, and, you know, put it down and listen up. You know, but But it would be benefit people to say, whatever is being presented, I can get something positive out of it, instead of an attitude of, I kind of despise. I'm forced to sit here to get the grade, or I'm forced to be here, or, you know, I might lose some points, but, you know, I'm really bored. That's just a kind of an ungrateful attitude toward the spiritual food you're getting. In the case, and maybe in school, it'd be the educational food you're given, but it's the same principle. Paul says, don't have that attitude toward messages you get, or that you hear on DVD, on tape, online, you read in the magazine, brochures. Appreciate it and just say, there's something there I can get out of it. Because I know the attitude that's easy to get into, you say, well, I've heard all this before. And you probably have heard it before. But redundancy is good for us. Hear it one more time, need to be reminded. And often when I do, because I have that same problem everybody else does, you say, I've heard that before. But if you read it again, you'll get a deeper understanding than you did the last time you heard it. Or you'll get some additional side points that you never thought of the last time you heard it. In other words, nobody knows everything as well as they ought to. Even if you've been around for 30, 40 years, there's so much to know and be inspired by. So Paul says, don't despise, you know, messages of Christian nature. And that's all related to being thankful and avoiding that terrible, end-time, brutal, selfish attitude described in 2 Timothy 3. We want to avoid that. So be thankful for what we have. Let's go a page over to 2 Thessalonians 1. and we're going to take 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3 and 4. Paul says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. Paul is thanking God for the brethren. Well, now, of course, specifically, he's thanking them for the brethren in the Thessalonican church. But the principle is true. He probably is thankful for the ones in Corinth and other places, too. As is fitting, it's the appropriate thing to do. Because your faith grows exceedingly in the love of every one of you, all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience, your faith, and all your persecutions, tribulations that you endure. Paul was proud of that church and the things they went through in their spiritual growth. So let's look at some things we should be thankful for. We should, first of all, be thankful for God, his calling. You know, it's a great opportunity to be called first, and his grace. Even if you're a really good person all your life, you still need a lot of grace. So be thankful for God and his grace. Be thankful for the brethren, because that's what this verse just said. Be thankful for other church members that can pray for you and you pray for them. Third, be thankful for our loved ones, you know, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, cousins, and whoever else we got out there, and sons and daughters, be thankful for them. Be thankful for our health. We try to maintain it as best you can. We were listening to an audio Christian tape, and they were talking about an orphanage with really, really handicapped babies. There are a lot of health problems out there. I mean, maybe you're not as healthy as you'd like to be. All would like to be like we were when we were 20 years old. But if we're reasonably healthy, we should be thankful. We should be thankful. And be thankful for the country. You know, I've heard them ask people who are mad. They say, well, where else would you rather live? There aren't too many other places they'd rather be when they thought about it for a while, right? Think about it. This is still probably the best place to be. And I was in the grocery store, and you know, they, according to the markets, we've had a record crop of, or near record crop of soybeans, corn, and some other, and beef is up. I mean, now maybe the cost may go up because of other factors that we can't predict, but assuming nothing bad happens, we're going to have relatively inexpensive food and almost anything you want. You go through these big supermarkets, you can get watermelons out of season, you can get apples out of season, you can get oranges out of season. Let me not be quite as good as they were in season. But you can get, you know, tropical fruit. You can get almost anything you want within reason at a fairly low price. You know, many countries, people have to pay half to two-thirds of their income to eat. In many countries in the world, quite a few, even in Europe, they pay proportionally a lot more for food. And frankly, when I saw the food isn't as good, the water isn't as good, you know, my opinion. But we really are blessed. We're so used to it, we take it for granted. But we really are blessed. And I remember the guy on the radio says, people ask him, how is he? He says, I'm better off than I deserve. And I like that. I'm better off than I deserve. Isn't that really true? Aren't we better off than we deserve? So avoid the threat of becoming an ungrateful, bratty, you know, the kind of person that's going to dominate in the end time. Now, instead of a joke, I have three of these visual cartoons. I'll describe it, and then you can laugh at the appropriate moment. The first one says, it shows this big hammer and something underneath it. It says, no matter how big a hammer you use, you can't pound common sense into stupid people. So remember that when they get you all upset, and be thankful and don't let them upset you. There's these two birds on a wire, a big bird and a juvenile bird. The big bird says to the juvenile bird, well, hold it until we find a parked car. I understand that one well. And the last one, there are two college students walking down the aisle, and not marriage aisle, just a sidewalk. And they're talking about how bad the primitive world is. And they say, thank God I don't have to hunt for my food. And the two college students says, I don't even know where tacos live. So they're thankful that they can get tacos. But I have no idea. Oh, well. But that bad complainer spirit is contagious. We want to avoid being caught up in the contagion of I'm unthankful. I demand more. You owe it to me. Give it to me now. I should have had it yesterday. And all those other negative things that Paul mentioned. Let's go to Colossians 3. Here's what God commands us to do. Colossians 3:15. God commands this. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. God commands us to be thankful and to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Here's how I think we should look at that. Being happy and thankful and grateful is a choice. It's kind of mind and spirit and emotion over circumstances. It's a choice. It's like you walk into life, and I know a close relative who was always mad and angry about stuff and in a bad attitude. And maybe that person had a rougher life than many of us did. So I'm not condemning. I'm just explaining. But after you finally get older and you can look back and see things more clearly, you can see that that person had a disposition that chose to look for offenses, that chose to be unhappy, that chose to find things to fight with people over. It's like their personality was predisposed to be mad, angry, unthankful. And that's probably one of human nature's problems that we all have to overcome. And God says he commands us to choose to be happy, to choose to be grateful. In other words, even if you get stuck in mud somewhere, you can say, I'm not going to let this ruin my day because it's mind and spirit over circumstances. It's like a choice. You make the choice. It's a sign of spiritual growth that you can stay positive no matter what. Now, maybe if, you know, obviously if you're in pain, you know, there are exceptions, but you still make the best of that as possible under the circumstances. And I really believe one of the biggest things we have to learn as you become, hopefully we're all getting more mature, is you decide to be happy. You decide to take your crisis in stride as best you can take it and not let other people rain on your parade. You're like, you hammer the fools, but they still do foolish things that make you mad. It's like sometimes when you're in line in a certain place and whatever they do, you know, the line gets held up and they cause more problems. You say to yourself, I'm not going to let this get me upset. Or somebody cuts you off in traffic and screams some epithet at you. Yeah, we don't have to scream back. We just say, I'm not going to let it get to me. We choose to be happy. We choose to be grateful. It's spirit and mind, discipline over circumstances. Let's go to Philippians 4. And in Philippians 4, in my Bible, just back a few pages, Philippians 4:12 reads, and this is Paul speaking of his life. Paul says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. And then he says he can do all things because God strengthens him. What Paul is saying is he can be happy and steady regardless of circumstances. You know, they say one of the hardest circumstances to handle is to be abound. There was actually a TV show on about how a number of people either won the lottery or they got an athletic contract. You know, they'd be the poor kid all their life. All of a sudden, they get a $6 million athletic contract to play in the NFL, NBA, or some baseball. All that money, and you get the hangers-on that come with it, and their life went, they just couldn't handle it. Before they knew it, people were offering them drugs and bad women, and I mean that respectfully, but you know what I'm saying. All kinds of problems came out of the woodwork, and or say if you're a movie star, and you suddenly you're an actor struggling, suddenly you get a leading role in a movie. Well, the example I can think of the most is the guy, Mark Hamill, and maybe it's more complex, but the fame he got of playing Luke Skywalker, from what I was told, drugs and other things just ate his life alive. And he's making a comeback now, but not nearly. If what I read is true, maybe it wasn't true, but if it is true, I can understand it. That much fame and money all of a sudden, that would be hard to handle. Or people who win the lottery and 4 or 5 years, their lives are destroyed, they hate all their relatives and friends, and they're broke again. It's like they couldn't handle that much money. Do you realize handling fame and money and power is a temptation? It's a threat? Because people don't treat you the same way. And that is, and it's hard, you know, if ever you get famous or, from what I've read, and powerful, and it's hard to stay humble, too. And then you get the big head, and then you forgot what made you successful, and things start to go awry. And there are all kinds of stories that are happening to a lot of people. So you're going to say, well, why doesn't God make me rich and famous? Maybe God is protecting us. Too much wealth, too much fame, too much power, it's ruined a lot of people. Now you say, what about the other extreme about Paul says to be abased? When people are criticizing you, and maybe a lot of leading people are criticizing you, or too much poverty is also a strain. Now, you've probably seen people who are stealing something, and they'll say, well, I don't have anything, and the phone company's got all that money. I deserve to break into their stuff and steal it. People have actually told me that, where they're breaking into phone booths and stealing all the money or cheating the utility company or insurance company. I understand when you don't have enough, there's a great desire to steal, but stealing pollutes your character. If you start stealing, it'll destroy you. And sooner or later, you'll get caught. And the more you get away with it at first and you think it's easy, the bolder you get to one day, like putting your hand in a trap. Then you'll be in prison, your life will be destroyed, or other bad things can happen to you. Obviously, being heavily criticized, abased, or in poverty is a great trial. But the truth is, you'll see Paul complimenting churches for being strong and spiritual in poverty. You can be poor. A lot of poor people really develop character. I was thinking of my grandfather. During the Great Depression, they had a little rent farm, and actually they did a lot of good things. They made a lot of their own stuff and even gave food to friends in the city who didn't have food. But you get the, I'm giving you my opinion. Of course, I'm biased, but I think I'm right, that the Great Depression actually made him stronger, if that makes any sense. And a lot of Americans back then came out of the Depression stronger. And one of my teachers said, America would not have been able to win World War II if the Roaring Twenties had roared all the way to 1941. Because family values and divorce, everything was getting worse and worse and worse and worse. The Depression came along and some things got better. Family values got better. And I think people appreciated whatever they got more. And they got stronger. And so, in other words, if you handle poverty the right way, it can make you stronger. It's like I've read this article where if people have a dying or really, really sick child in a hospital, it can do one of two things to the parents. It can draw them closer together and stronger, or it can break up the marriage and they hate each other. It's your fault he's sick. Or you, anyway, there are great stories of how that works out. In other words, problems can make you stronger if you handle them the right way, or they can tear you apart. Paul was able to handle both things, and that's hard to do. I imagine Paul went to some place where the church supported him well, and he was well thought of. You know, he abounded in other places. There were mobs chasing him, and the church didn't support him, and, you know, it was tougher on him. He handled both of them well. That's hard to do. That shows maturity. That's what we should want. We should go in the opposite direction of our society, which is slowly descending into decadence. Maybe the slowdown will slow down, but we'll see. But be grateful, be spiritually mature, make yourself thankful, and make yourself become more godly. Because that's what God wants us to do, is to become more godly.